and welcome to Flower Friends. This is your host, Sarah Nayani, and today I am outside with my coffee, standing in front of my house, and I thought I'd do a little walkthrough garden tour. And the reason I want to do this is I've interviewed a bunch of guests. I've talked a little bit about what projects I'm working on, but I don't think I ever like cohesively kind of did a garden walkthrough. And I just thought that would be a good background for setting the scene for the rest of the things that I talk about on this podcast. So, and I just thought it would be fun for you guys to come along as I take stock in what I'm working on for this coming year as far as outside in the garden. So I'm standing in front of our little house. I think it's about 950 square feet. And then our lot size, I think, is just under 4,000 square feet. So very tiny. And I think it's pretty amazing what you can grow in a small space. And of that, some of it is driveway. So not all of it is like grass or what you would think of as like places that you could traditionally grow flowers or grow plants, but I've been able to, you know, put beds right on top of the driveway, which has really helped with space. So anyway, okay, let's see. I'm standing out on the sidewalk and looking at my house. And so to the left of our house, probably 4 to 5 feet, maybe 6 feet away, is another house. So I think I've said this before, but I could literally put my hand out the window and hold hands with my neighbor on the left side of our house. So very close quarters, no room for planting on that side because it's the north-facing side of our house, which I feel very lucky that our driveway was placed on the other side. So our driveway is on the right side of our house, which is south-facing, and our neighbor's driveway on the right is also between us. So there's maybe 15 feet of space between us and our neighbor and on the right-hand side. And their house is much taller than ours. It's 2 stories, pretty tall. And so definitely in the winter, the sun casts a shadow from their house over our driveway. So it really doesn't get much sun except for early morning when it's behind their house and late evening when it's in front of their house. So definitely not great in the winter, but in the summer, the sun is high enough that it fully lights our driveway. And paying attention to the light is one of the things I've noticed the most with gardening, is just seeing the complete differences between the winter and summer, not only in terms of timing, but the sun's height and location. And even into the spring, it definitely kind of cues the garden when the sun is high enough to shine onto the driveway, kind of cues all the plants to really start growing. So, okay, so down on the sidewalk, I have 3 garden beds. This is technically city property, I believe, that's between the sidewalk and the road. It's about maybe 8 feet of space. And in this space, I think probably illegally, I have put the beds very close to the road. I think technically you're supposed to have 2 feet from the road into the margin, so that people can open their doors and stuff. But, you know, I had 7-foot beds, so I did what I could. And I tried to leave space for car doors opening. But anyway, so these are 3 metal garden beds from metalgardenbeds.com, which is a super funny name that captures exactly what they sell. And so these, I believe, are about 2.5 feet wide and about 7 feet long. I think it's their Narrow Grande series. And basically the soil that was here on the sidewalk strip wasn't good enough to plant anything into originally. And I just thought for working in the garden, it would be easier to have raised beds. So this was the first project I ever worked on. I filled them with soil and put wood chips around them, which grass is growing up around now, so I need to clean out a bit. But I have 2 beds here that are empty. They just have a mulch on top. And this is where some ranunculus and or anemones are going to be going once they're pre-sprouted. And then in my 3rd bed, I changed this over to be a perennial bed. And so there's 2 Buddleia globosa. And if you guys listen to the Yasmine May episode, this is a plant that she really loves working with, and I thought I'd give it a try. So I planted two of these, which should turn into big shrubs slash bushes. And underneath them, I have a cover crop that I had planted and have now chopped down and kind of tilled into the soil. And then underneath the soil, I planted, I think, 200 fritillaria. So the uva vulpis and then the snake's head fritillaria. So the uva vulpis, I think that's the yellow and purple color. And then the snake's head is the one that's checkered with white and purple. Really pretty little ones. So I thought in this making it a perennial bed, I just put some bulbs down that will come back year after year and kind of have those under these bushes, and we'll see how they do. I change things out pretty frequently. So I'm walking up the right side of our house, which is our driveway. It's just a cement driveway, and I have some like random pots kind of scattered because I'm just trying to maximize growing space. This is technically where our car would pull in, but I have not left enough space for a car to pull in. So now, much to my husband's dismay, we park on the street. To the left of me, we have like a staircase that goes up to our front door. And technically, I guess it's a covered porch, but it's really old house. It's a really leaky covered porch. And so a lot of water definitely drains through the sort of covered roof area. And so you might think it's a great place for starting seedlings, things like that. It is where I sort of bring seedlings to harden off. But right now I have a like five tier kind of, I don't know what you call it, I guess like a garage shelf system. It's like a metal shelving unit. And I have some ranunculus and anemones on there for pre-sprouting because I want them to be out in the cold. And I put a plastic cover over the top, which looks really tacky, but I'm trying to prevent water pouring into the trays and rotting out those corms. So I do use that for some seed hardening off. I have a little shed, mini shed, like half height thing that just goes up to about the rail height of our porch. And I just keep things like little pots and, you know, garden tools, things like that in there. But it's not enough space for all the tools that I have. So a lot of that is in the backyard as well. And then right in front of our kind of porch area, we have a rain garden, and I'm using air quotes very loosely because it originally was a rain garden, but now there's like a tree, some grasses, and some little shrubs. There's a quince bush there, but it's definitely like bindweed crazy. And then our neighbor has a beautiful climbing rose that's all over their fence, and so that kind of comes in here, but it's like the perfect natural area for foxgloves. And with the bindweed kind of dying back this time of year, I've been doing my best to pull it out every winter. It always comes back, and we have little like lattice work under our deck, and it's the perfect trellis for bindweed. It just loves like creeping up that. So anyway, some of the projects I'll be working on is cleaning that off and making room for more plants here in the front. Last summer here at the very back of the rain garden that's like up against our stairs and front porch, I put in several beds and I grew like snapdragons, zinnias, and foxgloves here. And it worked really well, but I want to make this look nicer at the front. So I pulled out the siding, this like metal siding that I was using, which is from Dakota Tin. And it's a really great way to build a quick garden bed. You can buy like 6-inch or 12-inch corrugated metal siding. They have it in a bunch of different colors. And this is not an ad. I'm just telling you the things that I use in my garden. And so you can just kind of put that into the ground or like just on top of the ground and put soil in it. And it holds up really well to make little garden beds. But there's some piping that goes under here. So I had to make some weird corners, and just it just doesn't look the best. So I'm working on pulling this out and putting in more perennials here. I would love to put maybe some hydrangeas and some like shrubs and bushes, things like maybe viburnum or snowball, things like that, that I could cut off of. And so that is what's kind of in my rain garden. It's very messy and needs some decluttering, but I kind of love to leave like a wild space in the winter for birds and plants and animals. And there's hummingbirds that live here year round, and the bushes in the rain garden are where they live in the winter. And I have hummingbird feeders on the porch. So I like to leave it pretty wild until early spring when things start blooming and leafing out again. And then they have plenty of habitat elsewhere in the garden, and and in there I can just, you know, work in there and clean up. So, okay, now I'm standing up in our driveway, and I have some more pots here at the front, and to separate sort of like the technically driveway area and what I've now made the garden, I have just a metal trellis that I've like kind of rigged to stand up against these two beds. And last summer I grew cathedral bells, cobaea, which is a vine up this trellis. And it was really nice because it just created a bit of a screen for the hot afternoon sun, so that, you know, the garden would get sunlight all day. And it's pretty hot in the garden here in the driveway because it's cement. So the radiating sunlight definitely warms everything up here. And so I wanted to kind of give the plants a little chance to cool down in the afternoon. So it was nice to just have a little bit of dappled sunlight when the sun was low, because I had this cobaea vine kind of separating. And it was also nice when I was working in the garden to have a little bit of space where I love it when people walk by and say hi, but sometimes I'm just in the zone. I need to cut things for the next morning. I just, you know, don't want to have like an hour convo with neighbors. So it was just kind of nice times when I needed to like just be working in the garden to have a little tiny bit of separation and not have it be so obvious that I was standing out here. And the dahlias and sunflowers and stuff definitely help with that too, because they get really tall. So here in the driveway, along our house, it's not cement. It's just like dirt with, can you hear the hummingbird? He's flying back and forth between this rhododendron tree that our neighbors have, and then our quince tree, and then the hummingbird feeder. It's really cute. Along our house, I have three big blue ceramic pots that were a nice investment. I got those at Swanson's, which is like a local garden center. And I put peonies in each of those. And so those are going to be on their third year this year. So I may do a little bit of cutting off those finally. And then I have two garden beds that are sitting on top of soil. And then there had originally been like washed stones. I think they're all local. They look just like from the beach. I've been able to get a few more Golden Gardens to fill in some empty spaces, which is like a local beach nearby. But basically I put the stones around the beds and the pots, and it's just kind of like a weed barrier a little bit, although things definitely grow up through them, but it just makes it look nice around the foot of the beds and the pots here. And so on this side, I have a little bit of a mishmash. I have some Rudbeckia and Scabiosa that I'm overwintering. And then I have some sweet pea starts that I started back in October that have sprouted over the winter. And so I put those into the back side of this bed. And I have a trellis just made out of chicken wire and some T-posts behind this bed. Since it's against our house, it doesn't block anything, but it's maybe a foot away from our house that I put this trellis up, and so sweet peas will grow up here. And this is my third year having sweet peas in this location, so I don't know how they'll do. I try to do crop rotations, but it's really hard when you have this small of a space, and especially where you don't have that many, or I don't have that many places where I can put trellises. So I stuck some here, and we'll see what happens. And then in this next bed down, I have some scented geranium, and those have mostly died back in the freeze, but should come back next year. And then I've got some anemones that I apparently left in this bed by accident. And so those are growing up amongst the scented geranium. And then some Formosa lilies, which are biennial, or they bloom in the second year. And I got those from Florette as seedlings last year and germinated them and then planted them out as tiny little babies. And now they're turning into more like little green, maybe 6-inch high plants. And hopefully we'll see some lilies come out of those. And then I also have some chrysanthemums in this bed. These are the ones that I got last year from Will Dry Farm up in Bellingham, Miranda. She's amazing. Hoping to have her on the next season of Flower Friends as a guest. And so those are all staked. I kept the stakes in the ground so I could know exactly where they are. And on the stakes, I put their tags. And then I have some more sweet peas in the back here. So trying to cram a lot into all of my beds and definitely making more beds perennial than I ever have in the past. It's just really nice because the plants kind of take care of themselves. They come back year after year, and it means that I have less seeds to start. And then if I keep walking along this right along my house, I have my little hose area, and I put two roses in right by there. There was a little bit of soil, and so I just decided to dig down and put some climbing roses. So I have Crown Princess Margarita, and I forget what the second one is, but it's huge. And so those are just some beautiful David Austin roses to kind of grow up along the house in this corner. And also near the hose, I have a bunch. I have maybe 15 terracotta pots that I filled with extra flower bulbs and soil. Basically, when I fill all the spaces in the beds that I can with the enormous amount of bulbs that I order, which is way more than I have room for, I put the extras into pots and I make bulb lasagnas. And I love just having those kind of sit on my steps in the spring when everything's in bloom. It just looks really pretty and just makes me happy to have some that I can keep for myself, since most of the things in the garden I'm cutting for arrangements and bouquets. The birds are being so cute right now. They're really waking up. I don't know if you can hear them, but I love that. Okay, so that was the aisle that's kind of along the house. So I basically have three rows of beds up here in the driveway. So one that's along the house, one that's in the middle of the driveway, and one that's on the far end of the driveway. And that basically creates two walkways up and down each of them. So this middle aisle, I have three more metal garden beds here in a row, and they go all the way down to the gate at the end. And I didn't put a fourth bed there so that we could open the gate and get in and out. And these beds all have tulips in them right now. And what I do is actually right on the surface of the metal garden beds that I have, I build up with tulips. And I've done this the past couple years, not in these specific beds because I try to rotate where I put the tulips. But what I do is I take that metal corrugated siding that I had mentioned, and I create shapes that are the same shape as the bed. And so I put those in, and then I put tulips down right on the surface of the bed, and then I dump compost and more soil on top of the tulip bulbs. And then I just take leaves from my backyard when I'm kind of cleaning up a little bit in the fall, and I just put those right on top. And the leaves kind of act as like a mulch to help keep the soil underneath nice and aerated. And the leaves also protect from pests, because I have so many like rabbits and squirrels and raccoons that love to steal flower bulbs here. And so for some reason, when all the leaves are down and kind of mushed onto the top of the soil, they don't love climbing through that. So it really helps for me, at least here, to protect against pests. And then on some of the beds, I've also added like kind of a, I don't know if you call it a netting. It's like a chunky green thick. It's almost like a fencing. You could use it as like temporary fencing. It's maybe like 2.5 feet tall or 3 feet tall. It's like green color and it has maybe 1-inch squares. And so I've laid that down on top of some of the beds too, which doesn't look very nice, but just as an extra pest protection for all these beautiful flower bulbs that I invest so much in. I just got so many stolen from me last year by all the little critters. So this year I'm trying to lay a little foundation. So anyway, one of the reasons that I build up on top of my bed for tulip bulbs is the alternative is that I would have to dig down about 8 inches, put the bulbs in, and then put the soil back on top. And that would disrupt some of the like microorganisms, the critters in there, the worms, the bugs, things that help to aerate the soil and keep it really nice and healthy. And I don't want to disrupt them, especially because on my driveway, I'm growing on top of an impervious surface. So there's not any mixing with soil underneath. And so everything that's in these beds is really crucial to stay in there. And so for the past couple of years, I've been building up with soil and tulip bulbs to kind of help keep that soil structure underneath. And it is really cool because when I pull back some of these leaves, you know, I can just see worms. There's just worms all over. Like, they love it when the leaves are on top of the bed. I think, oh my God, there's so many. It's really crazy. I'm just moving some of the leaves back and like, there's so many worms coming out of here. It's really cool. Ooh, and a couple first shoots from the tulips. So anyway, the leaves do really help. Like when the rain hits the beds, it just helps like to pad that rain and take the pressure off the soil underneath. And I think it just also, this covering, it really helps the worms come to the surface and move all around underneath. It keeps everybody a little extra insulation in the beds. And so, yeah, I've really liked this method of kind of building up and definitely something that I'm planning to keep doing. And the other thing is that when it rains and precipitates on beds all through the year, they definitely lose some soil out of the bottom. And so building up a little bit in the winter helps to not only like further decompose the compost that I'm putting on top here, but to kind of help balance out the beds and level them, because they definitely get sunken down, you know, a few inches below the lip of the bed. And so adding more soil, I would need to do that anyway. So why not do it over winter, let the nutrients from the compost soak down into the bed and further break down some of that compost. So these three beds all have that tulip planting on top. I plant them in like the egg carton style. So, you know, just as close as you would see eggs in an egg carton, that's how close I'm planting the tulips. So each one of these little 7-foot by 2-foot, 2.5-foot beds, I'm planting over 300 tulip bulbs in those. And so it's really nice because you can fit a lot. So this middle row all has that same situation. And then on the far end of the driveway, I have another row of beds. There's 4 of them on this side, and this creates like the perimeter of the driveway between us and our neighbors. And I have a couple more beds of tulips here. And then the last 2 beds in the back, these are closest to our fence, and I think they get a little bit of funky sunlight because of the fence and the house next door. I've been having some issues in these 2 beds in particular since I created them. And I'm not exactly sure why. I don't know if it was like a little bit different soil that I put in. The first year I put ranunculus here and they all got powdery mildew really quickly and didn't do well. One of them actually had anemones and they did great. But I think it's mostly this one in the back that's near our fence that doesn't do well. The other reason I think it might not do that well is there's a neighborhood cat who loves to traipse through this bed. I don't know which house it's from, but the cat definitely tramples down the soil here. And, you know, this bed just gets more shade. It's just something is up with it. So this year I put a little bit of manure in here to try to like help break it down over the winter. And then I planted Johnny's like winter rye, I think, seed crop. It's like a cover crop for the winter. And I think I put the, I put it out way too late, but it's growing beautifully now. It looks just like a fine grass on top. And maybe is like about 3 inches tall at this point. And so I'm just leaving the cover crop here all winter to try to help the nutrients and the health of these beds and to create like sort of the cover crop as the mulch, and having those root systems helps with like rain impact and things like that over the winter. And so what I'll do is when it's time in the spring, I'll cut back all the cover crop and then I'll mix it into the bed so the bed gets the nutrients from that cover crop. And I just, you know, I lost a lot of space by doing this in these two beds because I'd love to put ranunculus, anemones, tulips, things like that that I could overwinter. But I just felt it was really important for the health of those two beds to get the soil right there. So this is my attempt at that. So this is really the garden driveway. I do have some more, more pots in this middle alley here. I have a couple bulb crates, so those black plastic bulb crates that you might get your tulip bulbs in if you order a big enough quantity. I have a couple of those that I have extra tulip overflow. I just line those with paper, put a little bit of soil, put the tulip bulbs in, and then more soil up to the rim of the tulip bulb crate, and basically it just creates extra growing space. And so in the after those bloom, I'll take that out so that the garden looks nicer, but it's just nice to have a little extra square footage in the winter months when I just don't have enough space for all my bulbs. Okay, so let's go through the gate here. This is a really old fence, needs a lot of repair. It's really just on its last legs and we're trying to treat it the best, but you can hear it's like in the winter, it's a wooden fence, and with all the winter rain it like expands, and so it's really hard to get in and out of this fence. Okay, so now that we're inside the gate, we're really in my backyard, and the driveway kind of comes about 6 feet forward in the backyard. So there's a little cement pad right here inside the gate, and then it starts with grass. So the cement pad is flat, and that's really nice for storing things and having space. It's also a nice warm spot. So if I need like an extra warm spot in the spring, or if I wanted to put a little tiny cold frame here, this is the perfect place to do it. It's protected in the backyard. And then it starts with grass and it goes kind of like up a hill into our backyard. Okay, and then just to set the scene in the backyard, basically once you walk through the gate, there's maybe a 6 foot walkway between the house and the fence up into the backyard. And our whole backyard is on a slope. So from the driveway walking up into the backyard, I have a couple beds along the house and the deck. Our deck is just like a flat rectangle deck here. And then there's a fence in the main part of our backyard. There's a fence in between all of our neighbors' houses and ours. So it's basically a big rectangle back here. In the back right corner, there's a huge couple of cherry trees. These are Kanzan cherry trees. They're so beautiful. They have these beautiful like double pink flowers, and this tree is probably 30 plus feet high. And so I can cut branches off that and actually force them inside. So you can cut them around this time of year when they're budding up, bring them in, put them in water, and in a couple weeks there's beautiful flowers on them way earlier than when the tree actually blooms. But I think it's April and May time frame that there's just this tree is just covered in pink blooms, and it like snows pink in the backyard. It's so pretty. And so this tree creates a lot of shade in the spring and summertime, and then in the fall it drops its leaves, and in the winter it's bare. So right now there's a lot of sunlight coming through into our backyard, but in the summer it definitely casts shadows and creates like pockets of shade. And so right under that tree, I have some shade-loving plants. And then in the back left corner of our backyard. We have a big shed. It's, you know, whatever. It's just a normal shed. It has like shingle like siding and a really cute red roof. And then along the whole fence line, I've planted plants. And then right in the middle of our yard, I created a sweet pea tunnel. And what I did is I lined it up with our back door so that when you're standing at our back door and you're looking out, you kind of look right through the sweet pea tunnel. And it creates like, my idea was from the Dorsey Kilbourn episode. If you go back and listen to that, she's a landscape designer. She was talking about creating rooms. And so that conversation on the podcast really inspired me to create some separation between our yard to sort of have that be the transition into like our little fire pit area. So behind the sweet pea tunnel, we just have like a little Home Depot fire pit and some chairs. And so it's just a really cute thing. It's been fun because the dogs love to walk underneath the sweet pea tunnel and then they love running around it, chasing each other around it. So they're sort of like a dog paw print circle around the sweet pea tunnel where you can see that they chase each other. And so underneath the sweet pea tunnel, I planted some, I just put some stepping stones and I planted some wildflower seeds under there, like in the soil. And what I did to create the sweet pea tunnel is I used T-posts and I just fastened on some like metal fencing that goes up and over. It came in these big rolls, so it's pretty light fencing, but it's heavy duty enough that it can withstand like vines growing up it. And so I just took that and unrolled it, like attached it to one T-post, went up and over, and then to the other T-post. And then at the foot of the sweet pea tunnel, I planted, like I built up about 6 inches of soil, again with that like metal corrugated siding. So that is sitting in the center of our garden and it's like east-west facing just like our house. And so on the south side where this does get some sun, I planted some perennial campanula, hollyhocks, and just some other perennial plants here because those need sunlight and they definitely get enough. It's like out from under the tree. But on the north-facing side, it doesn't really get sunlight. So I put some toad lilies and some plants that love shade here. And so it's just really nice, like a little extra garden space in the middle of the backyard. So just to go back to these beds along the side of the house, I'll just walk you through what we've got. So coming up from the gate from the driveway, I have one very sloping bed and it's right along our bedroom window. And I've put some trellises up behind this bed and I have clematis that grows up. So it's really pretty in the summer because it's kind of dappled sunlight that comes into our bedroom. It creates a little bit of separation because our neighbors have a two-story house, so they could definitely see into our bedroom. So I thought it would be fun to do like a plant screen here and just kind of create some separation. So there's clematis that grows up these trellises in the back, and then there's distant drums, roses, and some mums around there. And then, of course, because I'm always packing my beds as full as I can, I have some Fata Morgana Scabiosa, which is like the yellow variety that's super pretty, soft yellow, and it kind of blushes out a little bit. And then between this bed and the next one along our house, we have some mock orange, which is one of my favorite perennial plants. This one's a native one to Washington. And it just has the best fragrance. It's this beautiful, soft, white flowers. I just haven't found anything like it. And so I wanted to plant my own so that I have a source for those always, because I might see it in the market for like a week or two, but it's really expensive and very hard to find. And so it's just nice to have some of my own sources. So that is in the ground in between these two beds, so it has a little bit of protection. And then along our deck, I have another metal garden bed that has more roses, some mums, scabiosa, and this is where I put the bee balm monarda last year, and it is like, it grew like 3 or 4 feet high, the bee balm, and it just is this weird little alien looking plant. I love it so much. I think it looks like little row of spaceships up up the stem. I just love the shape of it. It creates this cool texture. It was like this greenish purple color, and I just loved that in bouquets and arrangements. It's just this fun, like, I don't know, just really cool ingredient. So I think some of those will self-seed in this bed because I left them in just pretty wild. I haven't cleaned up very much in the backyard yet. I usually do the front of the house and the beds in the driveway first because that's what, like, strangers can see. Try to make our house look a little bit more organized than it is. And then I kind of leave the backyard wild as like another space for animals in the winter. And also in this bed, I grew some hollyhocks from seed last year. They didn't bloom yet, but those are in this bed as well. So really, really crammed. It's kind of survival of the fittest a little bit in my garden. So we'll see what thrives and what doesn't. Okay, so basically along the fencing, I put in some beds. So on the right-hand side, like as you're walking up from the driveway along our house and you get into the backyard, on the right side, there are, I took all of the soil from last spring's flower bulb pots that I had, and I dumped it right here with the bulbs in the soil. And I just made this big mound of soil with some like tulip and different bulbs mixed into it. I wanted to see if they would regrow. I'm not sure if they will. But I made this big mound and then I planted some perennials right into that. And so I've got nine bark up against the fence, maybe 2 feet out from the fence. I want to give them lots of room and make sure they get sunlight. And those grow tall enough that they definitely do get sunlight back here. And then I have a row of hydrangeas in front of those, which are more shaded out by the nine bark and the fence. They're lower at this stage. And then I have some rudbeckia and some other perennial plants that I put in here. So hopefully most of those will come back next year. and then along the back fence, which is really shaded by the cherry tree, I used, again, more of that corrugated metal, and I put hellebores in. I think I put 18 plants last fall, so 2021, and some of those bloomed last winter, so like February 2022, but most of them didn't. And then over the spring and summer, they grew these huge, beautiful, lush leaves. And then the cherry tree drops its leaves on them and creates like a natural mulch. So I just let that happen back here. And then a couple weeks ago, I came out and I moved some of those leaves. Let's do that right now. See how they're doing. Because at the center of these hellebore plants, these beautiful, that's where the flowers come up from. And so when I moved the leaves out that had been protected all winter by this like leaf mulch, there's these really cool like sort of cone shaped things protruding from the soil, and those split off into multiple buds. So there's so many of those. They look really good. A few have bloomed and I used them in my first winter arrangements, but there's many more to come. I'm super excited about this area, and I think I'll probably need to divide these up at some point because I planted them pretty closely, but for now, they're great where they are this year. Okay, so then on the other side between our shed and our neighbors on the left, we have a fence. And so I made a big perennial bed here. And the original reason that I did this is because I had ordered literally, I think it was about 1,500 daffodil bulbs, and I had nowhere to put them. And I wanted a place that instead of like growing them for 1 year, they're perennial. So I wanted to get them in the ground and get them, you know, in a place that they could just bloom year after year. And so I put some under other perennial plants in different beds that I have. But for the most part, I put many of those daffodils back here. And then on top of those, I planted a bunch of different perennial plants. So I had these gorgeous lace hydrangeas that were in pots on my back deck. And I really wanted to get those into the ground. So those are at the back of this perennial bed. And then I have some roses, some more mock orange, and then all of my bearded iris are in here. The daffodils, we've got some echinacea, coreopsis, things like that. More peonies. Just lots of goodies back here. And so it's really magical. And this bed is in the shape of an F. You may have seen it on my Instagram before, but it's basically my perennial bed now. And the reason I created it in the shape of an F was just accidental. I didn't realize it until I put all the soil in and backed up and saw what it looked like. But basically, I wanted to create arms that came off so I would have more planting space. And so instead of just doing like a long rectangle against the fence, I have these two pieces, the top of the F and the middle arm of the F that come out. And it creates more, maybe, you know, six by four area of additional planting space by having that. And so it's just really nice for fitting more plants, and it creates like in between the two arms of the F, then I can walk in and like be able to reach everything in the bed. And the reason I didn't make it an E shape is because the bottom part of the F is right along our deck. And so I wanted like a clear walkway to everything. And so that's how it just unintentionally turned into an F for flowers. But yeah, this is a really beautiful space. I've been able to do some cutting off like the bearded irises, definitely the daffodils, and the roses, but just have a lot more coming and growing year after year, just really letting this build up. And super excited about this space and all of the gems that I have back here. And then on the other side of our deck, there's one more of those metal garden beds, and that has most of my original chrysanthemums that I ordered from King's Mums. So those are the Hagoromo and what's the other one? Senkyo Kenshin, I think is the name. And so those are purple and orange, and I just love chrysanthemums. So those are also covered in a leaf mulch. And then underneath those, I did plant some daffodils as a test. I see some of those poking up. And it looks like last year at some point I had some ranunculus in this bed and never took those out. So those have started coming up as well. And then along our deck, I've got a little table that I put some seedlings on for overwintering. And along the edge of our deck, I have some pots with blueberries, raspberries, and more hydrangeas. And then my very last thing is on our deck, I have one of those kind of like plastic sheds for more. We put our lawnmower in here and, you know, sort of like those brown lawn bags, things like that in this shed. And then along this corner of our deck, I have a like little wooden, maybe 2 foot wooden planter. And I got some PHS daffodils. This was an influence by Florette, always a bad influence on me for spending money. But PHS has these really rare, beautiful daffodils that they're breeding. So things like, let me see what I got. Irish Cream, Shipswana, Gertrude Marie, Trans-American, American Dream. So I just got one or two of a bunch of different of their varieties. It was very expensive. And I put them in this very special planter so I would know exactly where they were and not mix them up with any other daffodils. So I'm really excited to see those bloom and just can't wait for all the treasures that are starting to peek up from the garden. And thank you so much for coming along on this tour. I'm going to do some seed starting episodes, but I thought doing a walkthrough first would help just kind of set the scene for what I'm planting this coming year. And I hope you enjoyed coming along.